name is Christy Grainer, and it is my great honor today to be speaking with Cal Pierce, who is the International Director of the Healing Rooms, which are now just outside Spokane.
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, he's been telling me a little bit of a story of how they got their land, and let's start there. That is an amazing testimony.
Well, yeah, our international offices have been in downtown Spokane in the University District. We have a city block of property, and we sold it during COVID, because we were thinking that we need to fund the ongoing operation of Healing Room Ministries, and so we prayed to the Lord, and during COVID, when you couldn't find a realtor anywhere, God just brought a buyer. I'm in a store, and the phone rings. this guy had the funds, and so we sold the property and leased it back for 5 years, because when he bought it, he wanted to make sure the building was still full. He still had tenants. So we did that, and then we subleased to a church called On Fire Ministries that's in our facility. But so we had some of the financing available from that, and we were thinking, well, what do we, how do we best utilize this? And the Holy Spirit just began to direct us through our accountant. I was talking to him about the fact that we're kind of getting up in years, and I'm not starting over, but we want to perpetuate the work of the ministry.
You want to leave a legacy.
Leave a legacy, and so we have a great staff and so forth. So anyway, my accountant said, "Well, why don't you just invest in a retreat center?" So that's what we're looking to do. So being a real estate developer from Redding, California, I knew about developing. So I started to develop a plan and looked down south of Spokane in the Palouse area, where there's wheat fields and in the country. But I couldn't find the right property, the right land, and the right place. And then you go down in those kind of places, property's too large. We don't need 50 acres, we need 10 or so. So anyway, one of our staff asked me, "Well, how's the search going?" I said, "Not well." And then she said, "Well, why don't you appeal to your landlord?" Being a developer, I always use the term landlord as someone who owns a building, but I never thought of it that way. And I said, "Oh my goodness, that is, yes, Jesus, you're the Lord of the land." And so that evening I said, "Jesus, you have a place for us. And the only problem is I don't know where it's at. So can you reveal that to me?" And so the next day, our director of our healing room sent me a listing of a piece of property.
The next day, just out of the blue,
Day after I get this listing, and it's exactly what I was looking to develop. Everything. It had the main gate. It had a main house. It has a separate building with a staff office area, RV parking, a fire pit, a patio that could seat 100 people for meetings, and it has a two-bedroom apartment, a one-bedroom apartment, and so it just took care of everything. So God just placed us in there.
So you didn't have to develop it. He just provided it.
Yeah, and it's less money by a long shot than trying to develop it. And it's already done. So, so we just got moved in to that facility, and we're getting set up. So if people want to have a place to come hang out and they're in the Northwest, give us a call. We've got a spot.
And so now people can come to be trained?
They can come just to rest, to hang out. Yeah. They can get healed while they're there, too.
And how would they find out about
it? Well, just healingrooms.com.
Healingrooms.com.
Just go to healingrooms.com, and you can get to the website or email healing@healingrooms.com. And come by and visit. If they're in the Northwest, they have an RV, they can bring their RV. So
just north of Spokane.
So that just happened here just recently.
That is so good. Yeah. And if you've been following Dare to Believe Ministries at all, that we've been in search of a property. So I'm no fool. I know the Lord has brought this man into our life for such a time as this. Yeah. And we had him release that over our ministry. But I'm thinking that there may be people watching this podcast who are in this situation where they are needing their landlord, the Lord, to release. So would you pray for our listeners, anyone that needs the land to be provided to them?
Yes, amen. Jesus, we thank you that you are the Lord of the land. And Lord, we know that if there's anyone out there, that it's your will to fulfill their will, because your will is for us. And Jesus, if they have a place they're trying to find or locate and they can't find it, you are our landlord. You're the Lord of the land. And I ask that that they ask you to reveal to them where that place is, because your desire is to fulfill your will for your body, which we are the body of Christ. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah,
it's really interesting to see we're in a season of divine appointment. You know, we had a prophet at our facility, you know, and doing a conference, and I was up front during worship. And suddenly there's an angel standing right in front of me. You know, and I'm not the kind of person who has these kind of experiences. But boy, I'll tell you what, that angel was standing right
got
in front
your attention.
Of me. Yeah, and he says, "Hi, my name is Opportunity, and I'm coming to knock on the door of the church." And he says, "Anyone that opens the door will have opportunity."
Wow.
And they will live in an opportune time. So one thing that we need to get to the folks is this is the time of opportunity. We're the season of an opportune time, and we can live in that place.
And so how does a person take advantage of that or step into that? Can you, what advice would you have for people who are like, okay, I believe that, but what do I do with it?
See, well, you know, Holy Spirit is in us. Okay, he's our teacher. He'll lead you into all truth. He'll lead you into what God's will is for us. If the Word of God is God's will, should we have it? So the Holy Spirit is in us to reveal the will, God's will for his children. Just like we do for our children, we desire that they have the best.
Yeah.
And that's how our God is with us. And so, you know, appeal to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, give me that divine encounter. Give me that opportune time. Let me live in that opportune time. It's a place where we ought to live, because the Holy Spirit will reveal to us. That's why he's not, the Holy Spirit isn't in us because he was homeless.
That's a good word right
there.
He's
in us. He's in us for the fulfillment of the will of God on our behalf.
Yeah.
Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power, and he teaches us, leads us into all truth. So that's how you live an opportunity, is you have the Holy Spirit in you, but you have angels all around you. And God says he sends his angels to do what? To render service on behalf of those who inherit salvation. So if today you inherit salvation, you have the Holy Spirit, he knows what you're thinking. See, he can reveal the thoughts God has for you, but angels are all around you. So if you need a divine encounter, or if you need something, speak it out loud, because angels don't know what you're thinking, but they can hear what you say.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus said the word doesn't go out void. It accomplishes what he sends it to do. Angels bring it to completion.
That's so good.
So, yeah, so we can live in divine appointment.
Yeah, I love that you're speaking about angels, because when we do a lot of outreach, we find that people in our culture, even if they aren't Christians, if they don't have a relationship with the Lord, they believe in angels.
Yeah,
but that can be misused, and so many times Christians are afraid to involve angels because they see the counterfeit, what the enemy's done with angelic, and they don't utilize what the Lord has given us at our disposal or to support us.
Yeah.
So I love that you are speaking this, because it's a powerful tool that every Christian has.
Absolutely. Yeah, the counterfeit shouldn't determine what the real
Amen.
Does.
Amen.
See, you know, we're to be filled with God, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, so if you listen to the Holy Spirit, he will tell you what the will of God is. So, but you still have to know the Word. You have to get into the Word so that he can reveal it to you.
He's not going to can't speak it if you don't know it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good. Yep.
So your background, I know a little bit about you. This is the first time I've met you, but we followed what you're doing for many years because you had some encounters yourself. You weren't always a man of God. You were always a man of God, but not that walked with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that could be a really challenging transition for an individual when you realize, what I was taught in my church that I love was not giving me the full story. They didn't lie to you necessarily, but they didn't give you the full story. So can you just take us on a journey on how that happened for you? Because I know there's a lot of people listening who are hungry for more, but don't want to be deceived, which is a good, we need to not be deceived. Yeah. That's a warning.
Well, Michelle and I grew up in Redding, California, and God just divinely put us at a place called Bethel Church in Redding. Errol Johnson was our pastor. And it was Assemblies of God affiliated. And, we went there for 14 years, and I had a life. Okay, so I was a real estate developer, and my plan was to retire and go RVing.
Okay. You had a great plan, huh?
and basically God wasn't going to get in the way.
Interesting.
Because it was my plan, not his. Because I had my life, not his life.
And it's easy to believe the lie that if God has a limited, boring life in store for you.
Oh no.
And that the Lord blew that out of the water for you. We just heard the testimony of what you just learned.
Well, we got this new pastor, Bill Johnson, who had been to Toronto back in the mid-90s. This was in the mid-90s, and Brownsville, and he was hungry for a move of God in the church.
Okay.
And he comes to Bethel Church, which is at that time, probably 2,000 members, because they had a school K-12. They didn't have much beyond that, but it was a very religious organization, and I was on and off of the board, and I would tell people that's why the reason I'm a board member is because I'm on the board. And I'm the most bored member the church has, because I didn't want to go to church anymore.
Talk about speaking things out, right?
So I was proud of how bored I was, So anyway, Bill comes back from Toronto, and he has a letter that he put out. If you're in leadership or on the board, that there was a meeting, and it was a requirement to come. And Michelle marked. Under requirement, and gave me the letter because she knew if I didn't see that I wouldn't have gone because I only went to church because I was a board member. I only went because I was required. So I went, and there was 150, 200 people there in the room behind the sanctuary, and they had the youth there doing praise and worship. And I was checking my watch every so often, and because I had the other things to do.
You're an important man. You had important things to do.
Because I was a very religious man. Mm-hmm. Okay, I lived in form. I had no power in my life, and I didn't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit.
You were a believer, so you had a relationship with God. You just had not the Holy Spirit in.
Yeah. I had a relationship that didn't really take me anywhere. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but when Bill stepped forward, he raised his hands to heaven. He said, "Come, Holy Spirit," and we were standing. And when he said that, the fire of God began to course through my body. There was just wave after wave after wave. I wanted to run, jump, shout, scream, but all I could do is stand there and take it.
Wow!
And I don't know how long that was. I don't know what their meeting was about, but I know what mine was about. Because before that time, I didn't want to be there. But after that encounter, I couldn't stay away. See, when you encounter Jesus face to face and the power of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't change your moment. It changes you forever. You'll never be the same. And that's what the fire of God does. It ignites a passion, a fire in a believer that will never go out. And it burns forever. And that's what happened. After a while, Michelle pulled on my sleeve and said, "Honey, the meeting's over. Everybody's leaving."
And you were just standing there.
And I didn't even know. I didn't even know people were leaving. And so I said, I can't move. She said, what do you mean you can't move? I said, I can't move. My feet are stuck to the floor. And so she got a couple of ushers. They put a chair behind me so I could sit down, and they pulled my feet off the floor.
Wow.
I was stuck to the floor. It was so bizarre. You know, I don't know how these things happen, but I know they do, you know, because the supernatural is designed to be experienced in the natural realm. See, because the natural realm is the supernatural realm seen. But I
the
never knew that.
The natural realm is the supernatural realm seen.
Yeah,
I
was never taught that. But the truth is, in the beginning, God spoke. So where did the natural realm come from?
The supernatural. From God's mouth.
Come from the Spirit, who is God. So that's why we bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, so that what is out of order comes into order.
So heaven came into you.
Yep.
Is really what
it changed my life. And then God called us from Reading to go to a place called Spokane, where we'd never been before, and begin to pray and open up the wells of healing that John G. Lake had there. And that was, we had a day of intercessory prayer in May of 1999, and then we opened up the healing rooms July 22nd, 1999.
Wow.
And we had about 12 people that started with us. And, you know, we didn't know a whole lot about healing. We didn't have, you know, we knew that John G. Lake was in Spokane. And
if people don't know who John G. Lake was, why don't you explain to them what, he was from Spokane, and that is why you went to Spokane.
Yeah, he had quite a story. The Copelands did a book on his life, mm-hmm. and also Robert Slearden did a book on the life of John G. Lake. But he was a man that God was sent to Africa, and he started the church there and had healing rooms in Africa, and then he came to Spokane and started healing rooms in Spokane. And there's healing rooms in Spokane, and there were healing rooms in Portland, Oregon. And so he had a tremendous move, and 100,000 documented healings in the city of Spokane.
100,000 documented healings.
You know, yeah.
That's beautiful.
And so when we came from Reading to Spokane, I visited the gravesite of Lake because I didn't have a connection. And so I didn't know anybody in the city, so I did know that he was buried in Spokane, so I went and prayed there, and I went there and prayed for a year and 3 months.
Oh my!
You know, yeah, because I didn't, you know, God moved us to Spokane, but I really didn't make the connection that we were supposed to reopen those healing rooms that had been closed for 80 years.
So how did you know to go to Spokane? How did that happen?
Well, when Renewal broke out at Bethel, Bill put books out and on revival and healing and about the healing evangelists and the moves of the Spirit and things, you know. And so I was reading those and just learning to listen to the Holy Spirit. And he said to me, because at that time I was teaching a class. We'd been in Renewal for about a year and a half, and I was teaching a class about the things I was learning. And the Holy Spirit says to me, I'm going to send you somewhere you've never been, because I'm going to show you something you've never seen.
Mm, wow.
And I said, where am I going? He said, you're going to go to a place called Spokane, Washington, and pray for 3 days. So I told Michelle, I said, we're going to go to this place called Spokane and pray for 3 days. And she said, well, let me know when you get there.
Have fun.
Because she said, well, God told you to go there, not me. I'm staying in Reading.
Ah.
So I said, okay. So I drive up and I'm thinking all the time. I said, you know, it's 12 hours from Reading to Spokane. I'm thinking as I'm driving, I got to find out. The only connection I have is this man, John G. Lake, who was in Spokane.
So you knew about him, but just barely, just knew that he was from there.
Well, when I told the class I wasn't going to be there following Sunday, one of the ladies in the front row had the book on the life of John Lake.
Okay.
And said, that's where John Lake's buried. And I had forgotten that.
Okay.
So driving up, I thought, well, the only thing I could do to make a connection is go to the graveside of John G. Lake. and he's and because if he's buried there, he can't go anywhere. You know, so so I pulled off when I got into the town. Pulled off to a mini mart, got a map, saw where the nearest grave site graveyards were. Picked one, went to it, and happened to be where he was buried. So I went to the grave site and I just prayed, Holy Spirit, you sent me here for a reason, you know. And I don't know if this is the reason or not, but here I am. So anyway, I prayed around town for 3 days and visited the gravesite and went back. And then God just said, you're going to move. So anyway, we started to move.
Wow. So what I think is beautiful about your story is that you heard from the Lord, but he didn't tell you the whole thing.
No.
You just heard enough, you're going to go there for 3 days.
Yep.
And based on that, you're a man of faith, so you did what you knew the Lord had told you to do.
Yeah.
And then he told you more, and then he told you more, but he didn't tell you everything.
No, because we end up moving there. Michelle said, well, she was happy to move because they had more shopping. Spokane, that they had it ready.
Woman after my own heart. Yeah.
So anyway, she was working, and I got a job with the Department of Lands in Coeur d'Alene. And so, but I would go to the graveside and pray. So I went there for 1 year and 3 months, you know, and I just went there off and on and prayed, you know, because I'd go to different churches around town, but they didn't have any special meetings. Nothing was going on. And when you're in renewal or revival,
you're hungry.
You're hungry. But I couldn't find a church that would embrace that. So I would go out to the gravesite and pray.
And you're praying to the Lord to tell you more.
Yep.
What do you want me to do?
Yep, yeah. I'm just sitting there with my back against a tree at the gravesite of John T. Lake. And finally, the Holy Spirit said, well, if you need a breakthrough, you got to fast for 40 days.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And I remember Bill talking about people who'd fasted for a breakthrough for 40 days. And so I come home and told Michelle, I have to fast for 40 days. You know, and she said, well, good luck. You know?
So glad he told you to do that.
Yeah. So I began the fast. I went a week, two, three, got in the fourth week. And I began to have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit that I never knew I had.
And even though you were quite sensitive already,
you know,
this is really a deep sensitivity.
Because what happens is the flesh dies. Mm-hmm. So when you see, the problem we have is we feed our flesh. See, we feed it all kinds of things. And that's why we get separated from God. Because he said, you know, don't focus on the flesh, focus on the Spirit. So when the flesh begins to die during the fast, the Spirit begins to increase. So then you begin to hear things, to see things in the supernatural you didn't have the capacity to see before because your flesh got in the way.
Okay.
That's why Jesus said, don't walk by what you see. Walk by what you hear the Spirit saying. So at the end of that fast, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to reopen these wells that John Lake had here 80 years before. And get out of the well the dead bones of saints that have passed away before us that plug up a well. Get out doubt and unbelief that prevents healing from taking place. And so we made up a flyer and put the flyer around town and had the day of redigging those wells of healing. 100 and some people came from 5 states. We knew none of them.
How did you get the word out?
I just made a flyer and pass it around town.
And the Holy Spirit got the word out.
Yeah, and the Holy Spirit, because, you know, intercessors, they're really weird. They have little antennas that come up, and they go beep, 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 and they know where.
And I love the intercessors, right?
They know where the other ones are, you know. So, we did that, and we went back to where, the same location where Lake had the heat rooms. We rented the space in there. It was called the Rookery Building downtown. The building Lake had had a fire in it. They rebuilt it, and the one that they rebuilt was one we were in. And that was in 1934 or something like that. So anyway, that's where we opened up and started praying for the sick, and people started to get healed. You know, and
so tell us a little. What did that feel like to you? What was going on in you while you're watching this happen?
Well, I mean, we had about 12 of us, and so we'd have prayer time, and we'd just We didn't know about the kingdom of God much, you know, at that point in time, or apostolic prophetic works, fivefold ministry. We're sort of learning, but and we didn't know kind of how Lake operated, or but we knew who Lake related to. Okay. See, we know that John G. Lake had passed away, but the Holy Spirit's still alive. Mm-hmm. So we appealed to the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. How should we pray? How should we do this work? And he said, well, you know, one puts 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. He said, have one lead and 2 agree upon touching the sick. And so we began to develop a team process that way. And then rotate. Because the Holy Spirit said, this work is not going to be about somebody. It's going to be about his body.
Amen. Oh, that's a good word.
See? Because in the past, we focused on the healing evangelist. See, mm-hmm. And the season of the healing evangelist was sort of dissipating. And now the season of the healing anointing on the body of Christ is increasing so that a healing room can be in every city and every nation. So we developed a model of how we operate so that when you have a person come into the healing room, one leads, 2 agree upon touching sick. Then when another person comes in, that they rotate, and the next person leads so that the work is the work of the Holy Spirit, not a person.
Oh, that's so good.
Because we're the vessel. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit works through. And he's just looking for a vessel. See, he's not looking for somebody who knows something. He's looking for someone who knows someone. So when we know the Holy Spirit, it's not about religion, it's about relationship with the Holy Spirit. So that he can do the work. Because when you receive him, you get power. And that power is what heals the sick. So it's not what we have, it's what he has in us. And so we begin to find out that healing's only difficult when we think we have something to do with it. That you can't have healing on a full-time basis if you have a part-time God.
Oh, my.
See, that the Holy Spirit can't get through you if he can't get to you. Mm-hmm. So it's in the divine relationship because we're the body of Jesus, you know, and he uses his body, you know. So we become the vessel. And then, so as we were praying, you know, I remember the first time someone came in with, they had terminal cancer and they only had a few days to live. And we just been open maybe a week or so. And so the team come to get me.
Because you're the head guy.
Yeah, I'm the head guy. And I said,
this is a big problem. Let's get the big guy, right?
Yeah. So they come to me. What do we do? This lady has terminal cancer. I said, you do the same thing you did when you had a lady with a headache. Mm-hmm. See, because it's not you. Who are you working for? See? I said, don't, I'm not going to come and help you. It's the Holy Spirit who's your helper, not me. See, we had to learn these lessons.
Right.
Because a lot of the team people came from churches around town that didn't teach about the supernatural, didn't teach about the power of God or how it works. So the team people laid hands on the lady. And she gets up and God healed her.
Awesome.
All the pain had gone. She'd gone back to the doctor and the doctor said, What happened? There's no sign of cancer in your body.
That's awesome.
You know, so
you know what I think is beautiful about that? Not only did you know that the team can do it, but sometimes the person who comes in for ministry wants the one with the most power. And they think it's a person. They need the Lord, but they think it's a person.
See,
and so for the person to learn, this isn't about any individual praying for you. This is about people who carry the presence of the Lord.
Well, and don't we all have the same Holy Spirit?
Exactly.
See? And that's the key. He's using ordinary people to do extraordinary work because he's not looking for stars. He's looking for hunger. Yeah. You see, when we're hungry, for him, then we can live in the supernatural. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we're designed for. We're not designed to have a life like I had. We're designed to have his life. Why? Because it's not I that lives. See, it's he who lives in me. Mm-hmm. See, back in Reading, when I had that encounter, the Holy Spirit said, I didn't want to fix you. because I didn't want you to be the way you were. See? So often we want to get fixed. And God says, no, I'm going to transform you. See? Because are we not the occupation of the Holy Spirit? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Are we not the body of Jesus? Have we been raised with him? Seated with him in heavenly places? He's our head. We're his body. So how does he access the earth? Through his body. See, it's so easy to say, oh, Jesus, you come and heal him. He says, no, I'm your head. I give you the power and I give you the direction because you're my body to do my work on the earth.
And so that was in the 90s or early 2000s. And what do the healing room ministries look like now? What has the Lord done in this time?
Well, people would come and get impacted and say, can we have a healing room in our city? And I would say, well, sure. You know, so we developed the model and we developed a workbook on how to start a healing room and how a healing room operates. And because the Holy Spirit began to talk to us, well, this work needs to be in every city, in every nation. So we began to put together national directors, regional or provincial directors, and then state directors, and then to develop a model to where we could train the national director who can then connect with the regional. They could connect down the line for accountability. Mm-hmm. Because we knew that people, you know, that what was happening in Spokane needed to happen everywhere.
Right.
So we grew to 3,000 healing rooms. We started the International Association of Healing Rooms to link them globally and to maintain the integrity so that no matter where the healing room is, they always follow the model of how we operate, because that's really important to have that. Because if you have the integrity, you have the power. So we wanted to make sure that it's not a religious thing, but it's a thing of revelation and of God's power and his love for his children. And we discovered that, you know, healing is what God does, because he doesn't want his body to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we don't get healed so that we can get sick again. So God's ultimate goal is not really healing. It's what healing produces, a body that doesn't have any sickness in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're his body. If we're the body of Jesus, his body shouldn't have any sickness in it. So anyway, we began to go out and speak, and here we are, 24, last July was our 24th anniversary, and we've been all over the world and imparting that, and now we have directors who go all over the world and teach. And I think after COVID, we had a lot of issues. Of course, everybody did. Some churches weren't operable, and healing rooms weren't operable, but we're doing a kind of a restart, and I think we're somewhere around 1,800 healing rooms now, and about, we were in 65 countries. I think we're about 50-some countries right now. So we're building back up, you know. And so, because we're in a real interesting season.
Mm-hmm.
We're in, you know, new seasons bring new wine. And so that wine has to go into a wineskin that receives that new wine. Mm-hmm. The old wineskin will lose the wine, Scripture says. So we're in a new dispensation of revelation. Right now, things are being revealed that our eye hasn't seen, that our ear hasn't heard, because the kingdom of God has no end. See, what I like about God is he never arrives. He just keeps coming and coming and coming.
That's a good word.
He never arrives.
He's never done coming.
Yeah.
Arriving.
And you'll never be able to wrap your mind around who he is, because you have to have his mind to do it. See, that's why the scripture says, but you have the mind of Christ. Why? He's your head. So the Holy Spirit is in us to let us know what Jesus is thinking, so we could do what he does. Because we're his body, because these are his hands, because it's his anointing, it's his will. You know, I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, you need my help? He said, no. No, he said, I just need your will. He said, when your will matches my will, then my will can be done on the earth.
And we get the honor of being the vessel that carries him in this world.
Yeah, Yeah, because religion has us moving in form, and depression and all the things that COVID had brought, you know, and people needing to get delivered and all kinds of issues. But that's what happens when you have what I call a separation theology. See, you have a separation theology when you're looking for Jesus, because he's saying, why are you looking for me when it's Christ in you, the hope of glory? Mm. Why are you looking for me when I'm your head and you're my body? He says, stop looking for me and start living in me, because I'm in you. See, we're his possession. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it's that relationship of love and listening to the Holy Spirit, you know, because he's in us to reveal what God's will is for us and how to live in the realm of the Spirit. Because, see, we thought we were supposed to be natural. We had this separation where we're down here and God is up there somewhere, and we have a rapture mentality,
right,
rather than a harvest theology. See? Because our call is to establish and extend God's kingdom, as Jesus said, on earth as it is in heaven, to reach the lost, to heal the sick, to have people encounter who Jesus is. And that's why we're his body, so the world can experience Jesus. Because if this issue we have down here was up to God, don't you think it had already been solved by now?
Yeah.
See, it's up to us based on how we connect to God. You know, and to realize that we're not to live separated from God, we're to have him in us. We're to, just like it's like any kind of relationship, you know. Here I am at this point in my life where I never thought this would happen, but people call me Papa Cal because I'm a father. Because people say, well, what's one of the most impacting things that you've had in the ministry? And I said, being a dad to a fatherless generation. Mm. Because we need, sons and daughters need to be raised up into their destiny. And that's what healing is all about. It's about putting us into where we can receive all that God has. Because he's not the God of the holdback. He's the God of the increase, and he's the God of the release. And he's trying to get what he has into us. And that's the blessing. That's his will for us. That's our inheritance. You know, and we should live in that inheritance, because it's God's will. It's his vast love for his children. And he just wants us to experience that. Not the trauma of the world. That's why Jesus said, Don't look at the world, look at the kingdom.
Yeah.
See, your condition will determine your position. So if you reposition yourself into God, then your condition will begin to change. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a person a little while to get messed up. It might take a little while to get fixed up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we need to position ourselves and say, Holy Spirit, teach me all that the Father has for me, so I can live there and become a benefit to other people around me.
And in your journey, I'm sure you've encountered people who are in that process of being healed, but aren't seeing the healing. And it's very hard to keep their eyes on the Lord when you yourself and your body are not seeing healing the way you want to see healing.
Yeah.
How do you counsel people who are on that journey still and are having a hard time hanging on to their faith in the midst of their...
Faith is the substance of things desired. But fear is the substance of things not desired. Mm-hmm. So often we allow fear to bring what the world has. Mm-hmm. And fear will cut faith off. You know, so, you know, here I am, you know, next year I'll be 80. You know, and you know, I might be a little slower, but I still... as I'm as sensitive to the Spirit as I've ever been, and even more so. But you know, these bodies have been given a length of years. God says to give you 120 years. So I don't see why we can't accomplish that, you know. Mm-hmm. And when we're born again, we're a spirit person living in a body. And the important thing for us to understand is we don't die. We live eternally. And I'm just going to run the race and change outfits.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's, there's no problem with that, you know, but the more you focus on the Holy Spirit, the more you hear God, the more of His presence, His love comes into you, and it creates sustainability. You know, and Michelle and I, we stretch, you know. I used to lift weights because, you know, I had a heart attack in Holland.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. When I was speaking at a conference, I had a heart attack. And Holy Spirit said, well, the reason you had a heart attack is you've been messing with my body. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you've been doing what you want, not what I want. You've been eating wrong things and expect the body to be fine. He said, stop messing with my body. So you're going to have to change what you eat and what you do. Because, you know, what I thought, you know, I had that separation theology. I thought, well, okay, I'm in the spirit thing, but the body, I could just do what I want with my body. And the Holy Spirit says, no, you can't, because it's my body, it's not yours. He said, I live in there. See, we thought we could get born again, be called by God to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but then we get sick and we're flat on our back and can't do it. Whose will is that, God's or the enemy's? So the Holy Spirit said, you got to, if you're going to grow in the spirit, you need to grow in the body too.
Yeah.
So you have to change what you do. You have to change what you feed the body, just like you have to change what you feed the spirit.
What I like about that, it's not an either or, because you need to use what science has told us about taking care of our bodies without losing the reality that the Holy Spirit's the one who'll tell you what to do.
Yeah.
So it's not either or.
Yeah, well, because we are in a fallen world, are we not?
Right.
More so than ever right now. And we have a broken food system, and we have a broken medical system. We don't have it's not health, it's disease management.
Mm-hmm.
See, because what's your solution? Take a pill. See, one of the most addictive things on the planet is sugar, because sugar can really mess us up. You know, so we have to be good stewards of the physical body as well. Because if you just eat fat things and you get out of shape and overweight and you get older, you're going to have some issues. So I didn't like hearing that. You know, I really didn't. When the Holy Spirit said, because I was 240 pounds. And when the Holy Spirit says, the reason you had a heart attack is because you were doing wrong things, I didn't want to hear that. You mean, I'm saying, because the Holy Spirit says, well, you're going to have to change your body. I said, how am I going to do that? He said, you're going to change your diet and you're going to lift weights. And I was 64. I said, Holy Spirit, I'm not lifting weights. That's for young people. I'm old. He said, I've done amazing things with old people. So I had to change my diet. I couldn't just eat all fat things all the time, because those taste good, don't they? And I even said I had a sweet tooth. Because I did, because I said this is what I had, and that created a problem. I had a heart attack, so you know, I had to figure out, well, how do I lift weights? I've never lifted everything.
It's a stewardship issue, isn't it? You have to steward your body, because your body's a gift, but you have to steward it like you would anything else.
Well, yeah, and when I was arguing, you know, I was trying to figure out how to get strong, and the Holy Spirit says you're going to lift weights. I was so negative about that, that he had to get my attention. So he sends to my house the most decorated natural bodybuilder in the world, a believer, to my house. And he says, God sent me here to be your personal trainer.
Wow.
And to teach you how to eat right.
Wow.
Yeah, that got my attention. And so he told me what to do and taught me how to do it. And I started building my body back up. You know, and so... you know, because I've met people that are younger than me that are just not able to do hardly anything.
Yeah.
So stewardship gives you rulership. in the spirit and in the physical.
Gives you rulership.
Yep.
That's a good word.
When your spirit rules your physical body, you're in rulership.
I love this. I'd love to talk to you all day. This is wonderful. but people can see you. I mean, you, when this comes out, you will have been gone from the Twin Cities, but they can always get training from.
Yeah, we have training in Spokane every other month. People come there for training, but also they have training through our regional directors around the U.S. in different places. So they can go on the website, healingrooms.com, and look up training and go there.
Okay, so healingrooms.com is where they would find you.
Yep.
And
because you need a healing room in any city where you have sick people.
And can they also find where the healing rooms are by going to website?
Go to the website.
And put the location, and they can find a healing room.
You'll see a map of the U.S., and they'll see where all the healing rooms are located.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
So, but as we before we finish, would you pray for people, both the one people that are experiencing illness that need healing, but also people that just need that encounter with Holy Spirit, so they can stop being a bored person, right?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Okay. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our healer, that we can receive healing because healing isn't what takes place in our body. It's what took place at the cross. It's a demonstration of that power that takes place. So, Father, as people are watching this taping and they need a touch in the body, they can lay hands on themselves and say, Holy Spirit, bring that power to heal my body because it's Jesus' will for me, and I need to have his will. So, and receive your healing. Just receive it in Jesus' name because he's no respecter of persons. What he does in one, he will do in another. So, Father, release that healing power to every person that needs a touch in their body today, Lord, and let them know that they can not just get healed, but they can have a relationship where they carry the power of the Holy Spirit, where they are truly the love of Jesus on the earth today, where his love can come to them and they can benefit from everything that God has for them. So, Father, just release that relationship because religion doesn't do it. Religion brings separation, but revelation brings activation. So, Holy Spirit, let them know that you are available. They can call on you. You will teach them and lead them. And let them be a blessing to everyone around them and let them live in their destiny. And that destiny is the fulfillment of God's will on the earth today. So I just release a blessing over everyone that's watching in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That's wonderful. So again, I'm Christy Grainer, and I've been speaking with Cal Pierce, who's the International Director and founder, really, of International Healing Rooms.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you so much for being here.